I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, it's another episode of Is It Just Me? With me, I'm one of your hosts, I'm Joe Elvin, and I'm here with this one.
Oh, hello, I'm James Williams, the other one.
And you know what it's like. It's the podcast where we talk about all sorts of utter nonsense, but giving it the gravity and the respect and the importance that we think it deserves.
Hear, hear.
Regular listeners will know it's not rehearsed. We don't actually. I'm putting
there's
a good
no script here.
I'm putting a good spin on it, everybody, but we don't know what we're talking about and we don't know what we're doing. But thank goodness we've got an absolute expert in all ways of putting the world to right in superstar extraordinaire, singer, pop star, vintage queen, baby mama. It's Sophie Ellis-Bextor.
When you said an expert, I was hoping it was someone else in the room. I was thinking that sounds like a useful person to know.
Oh, please. Don't put yourself down.
No.
Okay.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And congratulations on all your imminent projects.
Thank you. Yes.
Which one do you want to talk about first?
Creative year. Well, I guess I should probably mention the baby first, because that's probably where I should put my priority. So yes, I'm having my fifth baby.
Wow.
Fifth. Yeah. A lot, isn't it?
You like babies, don't you?
I don't know what it is. When I'm not in the room with all my children, I think having another one is such a great idea.
Right.
And then when I'm home and it's all chaos, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what's the next year going to be like? But yeah, baby number five is on their way, due in January.
Do you know what you're having?
I don't.
Did you ever find out?
No.
No, always a surprise.
I don't really mind. Yeah. And whoever it is, it's happening now. Yeah. So
at this stage, I mean, you've got husband and four boys.
Mm-hmm.
So is there a, I always bring it to the toilet. I'm sorry. I don't mean to do it, but is there a little bathroom that's just yours where the seat remains down permanently?
No. There's no area that's just mine, really.
Yeah.
In fact, even my dressing room wardrobe, like where I keep all my clothes, is actually where Jesse, my nearly 3-year-old, that's his bedroom. So no, they've encroached on all areas of my life.
Oh.
But I'm very fine with boys weeing. Like, boys love to wee everywhere, by the way. Like, this
is
like
true,
even
James?
When they grow up, yeah. They never get told that shit. Quite literally.
Like marking their territory or something.
You clean that up before you go, by the way.
Yes,
thank
don't
you.
Mind me.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're in this room for such a short amount of time. Well,
yeah.
You didn't need to.
I know, I just can't hold it. I'm sorry. When you gotta go, you gotta go. But does it get easier, Sophie? I mean, you know, are you like, I've been down this path before, I know what I'm getting myself into, or is it always a surprise, each one?
I think there's a combination of both. I definitely feel more relaxed, weirdly, about this baby than I did about the last one. I think when I was going from 3 to 4, I just was so, I got very uptight about how the three that I had in the world were behaving. And I thought, oh, they have to be like amazing kids. Otherwise, I'm going to be doing all this and there's going to be a new one. Whereas this time I'm a bit more like, oh, it's already chaos.
And
just
you can
add
just,
to it.
You know, you can hand the baby to one of the other
exactly.
kids.
Definitely. Yeah. I'm really hoping they
child
will start
labor.
Raising each other.
Yeah.
Actually, my eldest was really helpful last time with the little one, so yeah, hopefully
they,
same again.
Are they all excited? Do they all get it? What's happening?
The middle two are really excited. That's a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old. Yeah, they're really looking forward to it. But it's quite funny because when I first told them, my 9-year-old went, oh, so what did you guys have SEX last night then?
Yeah, I know, they're so funny, aren't they? Idiots. Yeah.
Like, I said, actually, it was 3 months ago, Kip. And he went, what? Why didn't you tell me? I was like, because that would not be a happy childhood memory for you if I told you that every time.
I love sex education. I remember when my daughter was about, I think, about 7 or 8, and they had sex ed at school. And one of her friends said, oh my God, do you know what this means? My mum and dad have done it 3 times.
Yeah. I remember the same horror occurred. That my kids were horrified when they found out about that sort of stuff. Just oh God.
I was.
It's disgusting.
We all were, weren't we?
Yeah. I am never doing that, I said.
My eldest was a bit cross when he found out about the baby, but I think he'll be all right. He was just like, you promised me you were done.
He's sick of rearing your kids, Sophie.
Yeah, exactly. He really is.
Just thinking, how does this affect me?
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I don't like them when they're here. Aww. This might be your favourite one.
And I'll keep trying until I get you one.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. We'll get you one you like.
My dad was one of 6.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, there's something to aspire
to. Don't put ideas in her head.
No. No, I think I'm really pushing it here with 5. Yeah. I think, yeah. If Richard was here, my husband, he'd be shaking his head at you really speedily. So
yeah, he's obviously not too emphatic about that. So, yeah,
but I know, this is the thing, I can always talk around. Yeah. Yes.
And if you weren't busy enough with that, kind of amazing sort of planning or crazy kind of planning, your new album is the same due date as your baby.
Yes, that is true. That's absurd, but true. So January the 11th, I have an album coming out. This is a greatest hits album, which I started work on just before Christmas last year. Mm. And I've reworked my songs with an orchestra. So it's been really fun. Yeah.
So is there going to be like a Facebook Live to promote the album from the delivery room?
What a wonderful idea.
Because you'd look
I'll
great.
I'll make a mark of that now.
Yeah, if marketing are listening,
I'm
you're
gonna
screwed.
I'm going to be singing while the baby is being delivered.
I mean, you know, Beyonce does sings on a treadmill. Come on, let's take it to the next level now, Sophie.
Okay, there's a
sing
challenge.
Through your labour.
There's the benchmark.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see it now. It's going to be great.
And also you're going to go on tour, right, next year with... Yes. This is really exciting, I think.
So I've got my first trial of doing this whole thing live when I'm performing at the Royal Festival Hall on October the 3rd. And that's with full band and full orchestra. So it's, I think, 36 musicians on stage with me.
Wow. That's amazing.
Which is going to be really exciting. And so we're going to do some of the stuff the way that it is on the album, just these orchestral arrangements. But then we're also doing live disco because the band are going to join in as well. So we're doing proper like 70s, New York, Philadelphia strings, all that sort of stuff. Just like bells and whistles, everything from harp to percussion, everything.
And we can still get tickets.
Yes, the Royal Festival Hall's still got some tickets left. Not too many, but some left. And then I'm going on tour in June around the rest of the country, which has just gone on sale. So yes, there's definitely tickets for that.
So you're going on tour in June. Mm-hmm. When you've had a baby in January.
Yeah, I think it'd be all right. So the little one will be 4 months, so they'll come with me, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's only
about...
Well,
you need a roadie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You're never too young to learn.
Yeah.
I think it's about 10 dates, 8 to 10 dates, so it's all right. It's not actually too much, I don't think.
Are you trying to do like a Partridge Family with an...
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Or like a Von Trapp situation.
Yeah.
The
cultivating
Von Trapps
a band.
If I could only discipline them by blowing a whistle, that'd be amazing.
I'd get enough curtain material.
Yeah, I know. I really do love that film so much. I tried to watch it again the other day with the kids. It didn't really go down as well. I think the pace of movies has changed so much over the years. They get a bit bored if it's not got sort of fast edits and
I was quite shocked the other
happening.
Day when a little kid said they hated Mary Poppins. Because obviously I'm quite excited for the new Mary Poppins film. And they were like, oh no, I hate that one. I was like, oh really? But I think we've said this. I think it's weird, isn't it, how... films, when you watch them, have a special... It depends what age you are when you see it as well,
definitely.
I think.
Definitely.
It's a window to make it special.
That's part of my childhood. I could not believe how slow Star Wars was when I showed it to my daughter. When I was a kid, it was the most exciting thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The garbage disposal scene was the most nerve-wracking thing I'd ever seen. And she's basically sort of like filing her nails and rolling her eyes through that, you know.
I know. I do think the speed of things is like increased. Yeah. They just want things to be happening quicker.
Yeah.
Mm.
Unlike this podcast where you want this to go on longer and longer and longer.
Yeah. It's
for the big thinkers out there.
It's true.
So basically, Sophie, and we can pre-order the album, right? You can pre-order the album and the tickets.
Yeah, all
so
of
So where's
that.
The best place to go for all that info?
So I've done, the album's available on Pledge website or on my own website, either or. And bits of merchandise as well. I've been doing tea towels for the last couple of records, which has made me very happy.
Oh my God, I love that idea. I thought
you were
going
to say rich then. The tea towels have made me very rich.
No, not very rich. No, definitely not. But they're just useful, aren't they?
They are.
And I like a nice tea towel.
You're not one of those people who goes around selling them door to door though, are you?
Oh,
Yvonne, like, Yvonne calling.
15 quid a pop. Have you seen those people?
No.
Yeah, it's a real...
You get quite a lot of them around.
It's a suburban London thing. And it's like, I just kind of feel like I don't want someone knocking up my door with another 10 quid dishcloth. But if you've got some chocolate or some wine...
Yeah, it's true.
Or even some paracetamol and, you know, like the things that I always run out of, or bread. Yeah, come to my door with that. Don't come with the rags.
No, I'm with you. They always
but
very,
I'm sure
very
your tea towels are lovely.
Exactly, yeah.
My tea towels are nice and much more affordable.
I feel my tea towel collection's lacking by not having a Sophie Ellis-Spector tea towel.
Has it got your big head on it?
I need to write this wrong immediately.
Actually, the last one I did was more just a pattern. It didn't have me on it. But this time, the artwork's all been done by, do you know this fashion illustrator called David Downton? He's does these really beautiful of almost 60s-esque fashion illustrations. So he's done all the artwork. So it's kind of got me, but not really me. A much really nicer
could,
version.
It could add a real extra element to a bit of a domestic row at home, isn't it? If your spouse can take your face and sort of like wipe a dirty dish with it or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The power of that.
Oh, yeah. That's well, that can happen.
I was going to say, it's a reality
from
for
January.
You, possibly.
Yeah.
So get the album, get your tickets and get your tea towels from your official website, yes?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Great. Well, very exciting. You've got a busy few months coming up, Sophie.
I have.
So good job we got you in here today. To basically.
And it was kind of just by luck, really.
I know.
Yeah. Well, the luck of me nagging Sophie incessantly.
Exactly.
This is a nice way to, me, this is the only thing I'm really doing today. So it's perfect.
Well, you'll be drained by the end of it, Sophie. It really is.
Happily drained.
Let's hope so. So the question is, are you ready to do some Is It Just Me topics?
So ready.
Okay, let's do this. Okay, so first up on today's show, Joe and Sophie, a bit of a weird one this. Is it just me who secretly, or not so secretly, likes being told what to do? So my rationale behind this one is I think I'm basically, I think maybe because you have to make a lot of decisions in life. Sometimes when you go on holiday, or even like sometimes at work, you know, even though I think I'm possibly a bit of a control freak, I quite like the fact that I can actually switch off my brain and just be pushed in a direction or given a list of things to do and just get on with it. Because I think that quite rarely happens now in life. Adulting's hard, isn't it? You've always got crap to do and you've got decisions to make. And is it weird that I actually quite like not having to engage my brain and like being bossed around by people?
I think it's very comforting. Someone else has got a plan at work and you can just sort of file in with it. And I think also, because there's a part of me that likes to be a little bit rebellious, I think I like being told what to do so that I can sometimes be like, I'm actually not going to do that. So I like things to kick against as well, I think.
Yeah.
You've got a 3-year-old, so presumably you just get told what to do.
Yeah, I have a very small boss at home. It's can be quite tyrannical, really. Mm. You're right. That is an amazing age for being very sure about what you want in life.
Yeah, and nobody really arguing. Yeah.
No, because it's just so much easier just to go along with what works out. But and also, I quite enjoy what he feels very passionate about.
But on a serious note, though, Sophie, don't you think? I think you probably now take more ownership and control of your career than you did possibly when you first started out. Obviously, when you first signed to a big label, you're a new artist. You know, you have to kind of go with, because you don't want to be sort of, you know, the girl that's coming in with too many loud opinions, because obviously then people go, oh, she's too difficult. So I would imagine, do you know what I mean? That probably did happen, right? Whereas now you've been doing this, 20 years?
Yeah.
You know? So is it quite nice in a weird way that you do actually now get to call more of the shots?
Yeah, I love being able to make decisions without there being a big committee of people that have to sign everything off.
Yeah.
But actually, I still don't do it in a void. I still have a little family of people around me that I run everything by. And I don't really make any big decisions without consulting anybody. Even if it's something I'm quite sure about, I like talking to folks. So either it be my mum, I've got two old friends from school. If I've got a dilemma, I'll go through at least 6 people probably before I reach my conclusion, even if I kind of knew where I was probably headed with it already.
Yeah. How about you, Jo? Well, I think we've touched on this before.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not very good. I like being the one in control. That might not surprise too many people. But that's why I think what I do miss about the glamour job was going to the shows. And it was the one period, like a couple of months a year, where it was my job to get in the car at the time I was told to get in the car in the morning and just go to all the appointments and do what I was told. And it was actually the most amazing thing, where my schedule wasn't my own. Mm-hmm. It was somebody else had to be in charge for that whole time. And, you know, it, to the point where I would say, so I'm going to need the loo soon. Will I be allowed to go? You know, and someone would look and go, yeah, we've got to stop coming up in 20 minutes. Can you hold on till then? Like, yeah, okay, great. So, and that was it. And it was like, right, eat now, Joe. Right, sleep now, Joe. Okay, get dressed now. Go here, go there. And it was actually, it was amazing, actually. It was like a little holiday.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's what I mean. I've talked about this a bit before, but on holiday, for example, I don't do any sort of research prep. I just kind of bow to my friend's knowledge. I just turn I turn up the airport. I'm told what flight I'm on. I bring my passport.
Okay, I'm not like that at all.
Oh, you...
In my family, I'm the tour manager. Somebody's got to be the tour manager when you travel.
Well, yeah.
And when I do work trips, obviously I have a tour manager, and that's lovely because you do get told, turn up here, and the responsibility of making the flights on time, all that, is someone else's. But I will always have looked up everything. I will double check the times they've given in terms of journey time, because I don't like being places too early.
Oh, wow.
And when it's our time to do family holidays, that's all me. I print everything off. I do all the itinerary type stuff. And I like it. Yes. I couldn't do what you did. Just turn up and not know.
Terrifying, yeah. The great unknown.
I love knowledge. That's more information.
I become almost like go on weird, or not autopilot, but autopilot, where I just go, yeah, okay, where do you... I'm quite laid back, really, with weird things like that.
My husband's really... I don't know if he enjoys it or he just knows I'm not going to do it. One of those two things. But he's really good at finding the best flight on Expedia, and it might take him hours. I can't do it. There's something wrong with me. I can't make those kinds of decisions.
But maybe it's your passion, isn't it? Well, I guess the weird thing for me is that I have friends who obviously always sort of consult me when they are getting dressed. If they're going to an event, they always sort of send me pictures. Whereas I would
not every day. But getting dressed.
Yeah, can you imagine? Like I'm like their version of the Cher thing in Clueless. I'm like this computer. That is not a match. but you know, I think they know I kind of quite like it and I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then I don't mind doing that. But at the same time, I would never do that to somebody else. It's weird. How, it goes back to what you kind of instinctively know. Like, when you were talking about always consulting people, like I would always consult things on an emotional level. But there are certain things, like whether it comes to an interior design choice or a fashion choice, I kind of trust my own instincts a lot of the time. Yeah. And it's interesting that you say you kind of know your instincts, but you still feel.
Yeah,
but I think that means you're not an asshole, because basically you're not a diktat, are you? But you're somebody who just basically makes decisions without ever consulting people.
Well, I'm also a people pleaser, you see, so I can't handle it if they seem disappointed by something that I've done. So that probably doesn't help. That can be quite a awkward balance. If you want to keep people happy, but you also want things the way you want them.
Yeah.
You're a bit of a control freak. They're not very happy bedfellows.
Yeah. Mm. But I think...
Or me.
I think it's kind of healthy, I think, to sometimes just not be the decision maker and just let somebody else take charge. I think that's a good thing for your mental well-being, I think, because if you're always having to be in control of everything, you're never basically switching off. And I think that's what you're kind of saying, Joe. I think in your day-to-day job, you're the boss, most decisions end with you, right?
So, and that means, you know, back to your point, it's you have to get used to... There's always going to be somebody who's unhappy with your decision, and you just have to
just be good at that.
Live with it. Yeah, I don't know if I'm good at it, but you just learn that, you know.
And what about in your family life? Like, if there's, I don't know, like a plan of what you do at the weekend, or where you're gonna, if you get what takeaway you're gonna get, and that kind of thing.
Oh, I love being the person who doesn't make that decision.
Yeah, you and sound in fact, exactly in the same.
My husband and I fight over that. We go, well, what would you like? I don't mind. What do you want? Oh, please, will you decide? I don't. And we go around in circles like that.
Yeah, that I find that frustrating. I think at some point somebody's got to make a decision, and often I guess I do. I think I cave quicker than some of my friends, because often there's nothing worse than being in that kind of, oh, where should we go? Oh, what should we see? And it's like, oh, for Christ's sake, somebody make a decision. It's often me that loses patience first. So
And then when you make the decision, people go, oh. Yeah. You're like, oh my God.
Oh yeah, I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't want to eat that. Mm.
Oh. No, I love switching off on the weekends. Yeah. I love being led.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Booking Airbnbs on a WhatsApp group. That's always fun. With a big gang of people. Yeah. That's never, never joyous. But cause that's exactly what happens. But everyone goes, oh yeah, I don't mind. And then I go, okay, I booked it. Oh, that's a bit far away. I don't really like it.
Oh no. Piss off. Very annoying. Yeah.
But yes, yeah, so I totally contradicted myself, basically.
Yeah, and there's nothing yeah. wrong with a bit of good, honest hypocrisy, as I always
well,
say.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
But also, I think there's a difference between secretly enjoying being bossed around and bossy people.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I think there is a tipping balance, isn't there? Because
yeah.
obviously a bossy person is a slightly annoying person.
Yeah. And there's also some things that are dictated to you, like dress codes and table setting plans. Mm. And I hate that.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's really, if you're going to a party and someone says this is the dress code,
yeah.
doesn't it make you want to wear anything but what they've said? Why are you telling me what colour I should wear?
It's funny what you say about placements as well, because I think sometimes you're really looking forward to an evening out and then you find you're not sitting next to anyone that you were hoping
yes.
that you were going to chat to.
That's so annoying.
I normally run over to the table first and quickly change my
clothes. No, see, I don't do that.
I've done it loads of times, honestly. Get in the room, quickly spin it.
So the next time I'm not next to Sophie, I'm going to be really paranoid that she's gone in.
Completely intentional.
Not her.
This has turned awkward quite quickly, hasn't it?
Look, I only did it those two times. I'm sorry.
Get over it, Jo.
Yes, Sophie Ellis-Bextor, James Williams. I don't even know how to succinctly say this one, all right? So you're just going to have to bear with me. Is it just me who doesn't care what product cleans what thing? So I realised this the other day when I sort of like just sort of half asleep stupor in the morning, grabbed a bottle of window cleaner to clean my kitchen tops. Yep. Sometimes the bathroom cleaner does the sink. Sometimes the kitchen cleaner does the toilet. Does it matter?
Nah,
is it just me who does
stuff.
That? It is all the same stuff,
must
right?
Must be.
Well,
James is so fastidious. No. I'm about to get a sermon. I know.
No. When you sent me the message about this suggestion the other day, it probably made me belly laugh because I just thought you're basically a cleaning product tart.
Yeah.
Where any old thing will do.
I'm just a tart.
Yeah.
And cleaning product is one of the ways in which.
But you probably are onto something because essentially, if it's got some sort of disinfectant in it, right, mm-hmm. that's pretty much all you need. That's going to keep things.
If the dirt is now gone, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it looks shiny.
Now, okay, I have a question for you. How often do you get rid of your sponges? Like, you know, your actual, like, washing up brushes and sponges. I sometimes worry I'm a total slag when it comes. They knock around for far too long.
Yeah, and toothbrushes and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm pretty vigilant with the toothbrush.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, you pulled me up on that later.
I know, boo.
I can't believe you even said that.
Taking a very dim view.
Her toilet brush, meanwhile, it's a different story.
Well, the toilet. Now, how do we feel about toilet brushes?
They're
they're really disgusting, aren't they? But sometimes you just.
I know.
After you've gone in after somebody, you mean? It is a weird one.
Well, no, just to actually clean,
clean
it.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not just talking about that time that washing machine man did that thing in my loo. I'm talking about. You've got to clean it.
We're not scared to talk about skid marks on this show.
Oh, I am. No.
But seriously, because I used to work with a girl, actually, and she would literally every week, she would change everything. So, like, she would change her scrubbing brush, her Brillo pad. Her, and I thought,
that.
And that's how I suddenly went, oh, my God, it's like, you know, am I a scumbag? Because I don't do that.
I did. Basically, the kitchen sponge, when it just starts to look a bit tired.
It's sad for itself.
So that's probably... I don't know. I don't want to say now. I feel like we're going to get really judged.
Well, this is the
like
thing, isn't it?
Like a few weeks?
I was going to say, I think it's a couple of weeks, isn't it? Two or three weeks?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, once a month?
I mean, it's always in the water kind of getting cleaned itself.
I mean,
I want it to look nice on the side. So when it looks a bit ratty, it's gone.
Yeah.
And when the top scrubby bit stops working.
But I think there's a packaging conspiracy because, you know, I mean, I hate to break it to you guys, but all your sort of like lovely... skincare products, for instance, a moisturizer packaged in its manly black and grey packaging. It's exactly the same as the stuff we use, and they've just put it in different coloured
bottles. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, so I think, I wonder sometimes
if it's the same
if there's
cleaning.
A similar principle at play.
Yeah, is there a big difference between bathroom and kitchen cleaner, for example?
I don't know. Yeah. We need someone from Unilever on.
We really do.
But
is there something in the ones you'd use in a kitchen that means you can then still eat food if it went on
probably
there.
If it's too astringent, if there's too much
still much chemicals,
yeah, you can't have silit bang on your there are other products available, but
on your cornflakes,
exactly,
yeah.
No,
delicious.
You can't have flash kitchen wipe either.
No, true.
So I don't know. I think it's just they just put different smells in different rooms, don't you think?
Fundamental stuff.
I have to say,
the same.
I went into a public bathroom the other day, and it was a very unfortunate. They'd clearly chosen a strawberry, like scented air freshener for a men's toilet, and it was actually in an airport. So the smell of basically poo and strawberries was really not very pleasant at all.
Well, that's what smell so does grim. Go with poo, James?
Well, definitely not strawberries. Strawberries and cream.
That's very true.
Strawberries and cream, yes. Yeah. Strawberries and poo, no. It's a big no. Well, I think the problem is it's not a strong enough smell to mask
Chanel
the poo.
Number five. Yeah, no, nothing works.
I don't think that's going to do.
Never going to work.
Well, no. This, you're going to get me talking about my favourite thing again, coloured loo roll.
Oh, okay.
I have a very big phobia and aversion to coloured loo roll for the very reason that poo looks good against nothing. It doesn't look good against white. It certainly does not look good against blue or peach. Why are you looking at it?
Why are you looking at it?
I don't think people choose the
because you need to make sure it's clean.
But then people aren't choosing the colour of their paper. They do it so it looks nice on the side. But not for when it's been used. No one cares.
You need to think.
I don't actually.
Yes, she does.
I have white, of course. White, like a normal person. But surely someone who has like pink is not thinking, this is going to look great when I wear it.
They need. They should be thinking poo canvas.
This is just, I didn't sign up for this. Yeah. I don't know about you.
Sorry. And somehow we always end up back on this kind of subject, don't we? We're never one beat away from some sort of poo or toilet roll conversation.
Perfect. Same in my house.
So yeah, but anyway, so yeah, but you know, I think when it comes to air freshener, yeah, not strawberry. It's too subtle. Also a bit too sweet. So then it has this hit. Oh, sorry,
cloying,
I'm painting a beautiful
really
picture.
About this.
On you, yeah.
The one thing, those artificial smells as well. They're very headachey. They make me feel
awful. I mean, yes, there's certain members of my family who love an air freshener plug-in.
Oh, really?
And it's just, it's basically like
a headache waiting to happen.
Yeah, and just sort of like every now and again, little poofs in the air of a really pungent sort of floral farty smell, basically, over and over again. And especially in winter when all the windows are closed and the heating's on, it's not great.
If we're going to go there, I'm more of a fan of the drops. You know, the poo drops. You just drop into the water afterwards.
Oh, I don't know those.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
get
someone
involved.
Bought me those for my birthday once.
They're quite good.
Yeah.
Because they
don't know what they were trying to say with this gift.
Yeah. What you buy the woman who has everything and very stinky. Yeah.
But they're obviously not. If I type in poo drops, I'm not going to find one.
Yeah.
Looking.
APC.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's
And Aesop do some. And
lovely sort of like orange smell.
There's also a company called Poo Pourri. And I think they do some as well.
How did we get here?
Hey,
don't
it's us.
I work for these companies.
I know.
I don't want that on my business card.
You could be the face of poo drops, Sophia. Let's you know, when the tea towel business dries up. Yeah.
Excuse the pun.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you are sat at home or sat anywhere listening to the show going, yes.
You're still listening.
Yeah,
well
you're
done,
still listening.
You.
Well done.
Yeah, I know.
Well done for getting this far. Yeah. If you're sat there going, yes, Joe, I totally use the same product for all my house cleaning. Mm. Do drop us an email.
Don't use poo drops everywhere.
Don't use poo drops. Yeah.
I also, the one.
You won't get a good shine on anything with poo drops.
It doesn't work. You have to use window cleaner on the windows.
Yes,
it doesn't
that's
work
true.
If you just use any old thing on the windows.
You get a terrible smear.
Yeah, you
and
don't want that.
Tried to make my own vinegar and water thing the other day. That didn't work either.
Is that an old wives' tale then?
Well, no, I think it probably does work. I think I just did it really wrong. Oh. It didn't work. It was all streaks.
Well.
So, sorry to end on a sad note.
That's all right.
That is soul destroying.
If you do have any top tips you want to share with us, we love hearing from you. So do email us at isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com.
And I am here for cleaning tips.
We are always here for cleaning tips. And actually, we got a lovely email this week from Jen. Jen Thompson. Yeah, you emailed us in to say you listen to the podcast every week and you couldn't stop laughing at the topic of mispronunciation, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago. You said, I had a conversation with my boyfriend a few years ago regarding how he very nearly pulled the plug on dating me. Because I used to have difficulty managing the ability to say generally and genuinely.
Fair.
In the correct context.
Fair,
yeah.
Because we talked about specific and Pacific. She said, I found this extremely funny at the time. However, when I told my friends about this, it turned out they also found it very annoying. So I've actually worked on it for the last couple of years. Oh, Jen, good for you. Anyway, I'm pleased to say it didn't deter him completely as we've been together for 3 years now. Well, congratulations to you, Jen, and your lovely boyfriend for getting past that.
Hard to think that this podcast might be improving minds out there, isn't it?
Oh, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's good
to
know. But anyway, Jen, thank you so much for listening and thanks
changes
for emailing
the
us.
It changes the meaning a lot, Jen, if you get genuinely and generally mixed up.
What exactly?
Because you'd say it's genuinely lovely that she's been with her boyfriend for 3 years. It's generally lovely.
Yeah, it's kind of all right. Exactly.
It's not as good.
That's a good example of when to use it and when not to use it.
It benefits you to get exactly. it right.
But anyway, thanks for getting in touch, Jen. And like I said, if anyone out there is listening and you have any suggestions for topics or guests, do get in touch. The email address again is isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
So is it just me that has an automatic distrust of anyone who has loads and loads of friends on Facebook, like 1,000+ friends? No one knows that many people.
How many have you
They
got?
Shouldn't.
I've got 300 and something.
That's good. Very
and even
good.
Then, like, there's people where there'll be a picture of like a sort of party and it'll say, you know, my engagement party, and I won't know exactly which person in the picture is the one I'm friends with. I don't recognise any of these people. Because sometimes you do become friends with someone you work
it's
with.
It's changed her. So shallow.
I'm
so
hideous.
Out of touch.
Yeah.
But then do you have an official Facebook and then your personal one?
The official one, though, is sort of nothing to do with it. I wouldn't use it in the same way at all. So that's there if I want to, like, if I've posted something on my Instagram, it can link up to that. But I've got a proper personal one, but I'm more of a voyeur on these things than
a
participant.
You don't really post.
I don't really, no.
Well,
I'm shy.
I feel I only now use Facebook really to go in and wish people happy birthday.
Yes.
it's very handy for that, yes. But I'm not a prolific Facebooker.
I go in to moan about public transport and just generally things.
I enjoy reading what people put. Like, I've got lots of friends that are really good on it, like you, Joe. But
I always think, oh, I can't think of anything funny to say. Or just
I mean, you will notice though, I can go like 3 weeks and not post anything, and then I'll just be on the train and be bored and think of something. But that's why it tends to be about public transport, because it's only when I've got that tiny brain space
and some
on
Wi-Fi.
A train and think, oh, I'm going to say this. But
But going back to your original point, Sophie, I totally agree with you. In fact, there was somebody recently who befriended me. I accepted it. I then went on their profile. When I saw they had 1,500 friends, I instantly deleted them. Because I just thought, with the way algorithms work, if you've got that many friends, I'm not on there very much. You're never going to see things.
Nah,
I'm not going to see things. What's the point, you know?
Yeah.
But it is weird because I think some people use Facebook like a phone directory.
Definitely.
So I have one friend, actually Robert, if you're listening. He always, he says he'll meet you and befriend you straight away because he's worried that his memory is so bad.
I don't like that.
That he'll bump into you again and not remember your name. Whereas if he befriends you on Facebook.
But Facebook won't help that.
The algorithms
will help. You know what to search for, though.
I know. Well, who knows? But that's his theory. But
you've got 300. I think I've got, I'm going to shame, I've got about 800 Facebook
friends. You're getting up there, Joe.
I know. And I must admit that sometimes I get, you know, it's Barry Bumface's birthday today. And I think, well, who is that? Who is it?
I want to be friends with Barry Bumface.
Barry Bumface.
I really want to know him.
Was it a drunken Facebook request or a drunken Facebook accept?
No, it could be a cousin. Yeah. I don't know.
I think if someone puts something like, I've got engaged, and you don't feel you know them well enough to put a comment saying congratulations, unfriend them.
Yeah.
It's a big life event.
I'm getting to a certain point now where because I'm the same, but I'm very aware. I think I'm around 600, and I'm very.
I'm looking so modest over here.
You're looking really good, and I'm very aware. I don't want it to get much higher than that. But I'm going to a place now where, because I made a pact a couple of years ago to pretty much wish everyone happy birthday on Facebook, because I had a day, one birthday, and everyone, it is amazing. That's the one day where Facebook comes into its own, and you think, oh, it's a lovely Facebook.
Everybody
world.
Loves me, and they're just going, oh yeah,
oh yeah, whatever.
I've been told, but you know, happy birthday. Yeah.
I so either made a pact to sort of do the same thing, you know, pay it forward and do the same thing to everyone else. But I'm going to a place now where some people pop up on, oh, it's so and so's birthday today, and I'm going, who
it's
the
a
hell
full-time
is that?
Full time job,
or I feel a bit like I have had so little interaction with you, it would be weird. For me now to wish you happy birthday.
I think you've got to unfriend these people.
I think you're right. That's a natural, easy edit to make, isn't it?
But it links back up to liking being told what to do as well. You don't have to wish them a happy birthday at all.
That is true. I like the fact that Facebook bosses me around once a day.
Bossing you around.
I love, there was one of my Facebook friends put recently, thank you so much to everybody who wished me a happy birthday. If you didn't wish me a happy birthday, you can fuck off.
See, I love that person.
Really made me laugh.
What about the ones that people put, if you're reading this post, I want to see more of you.
Oh.
And copy and paste this and we'll find out who your real friends are. I'm like, what is that?
My dad gave me one of those.
Oh. But isn't it?
Tell me how we met. And I was like, I don't really remember, but I think you were there. It's like, yeah.
But I always think that's just a scam. That's like a modern chain letter, isn't
it?
It's just a way
so
of getting
annoying.
People to do things. I mean, even I don't get bossed into doing that.
No.
Yeah, it's a funny old thing, Facebook. I feel like... Because I feel like Twitter's made a comeback. Because we talked about this a while ago.
I don't know about
Do you
Twitter.
Think? I feel like I'm checking Twitter now more than Facebook. Because I... well, yeah, I don't know why. I think it's... Maybe because there's been such good TV. And I have a theory that event TV like Bodyguard or Killing Eve... Mm-hmm. Those kind of TV shows makes going on Twitter more enjoyable because you actually get really funny memes, really funny
but
opinions.
Then I never watch those things in real time. So... No. I feel like, you know,
you're too ahead of the curve, Joe.
Yeah, I did watch Killing Eve a long time ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay, I've just started. I'm sort of two episodes
It's very
in.
Good.
It is good. We watched
great.
The Bodyguard as well, like everybody else.
It was fantastic. But yeah, so I feel like weirdly now Facebook's becoming, I just don't even, I go on it and I almost get bored straight away. Like I go on, I scroll through a little bit and then do my happy birthdays, obviously, because I was raised right and, you know, I like being bossed into doing that. But
I guess I'll just have to try harder to entertain you.
I think Facebook's going to die off anyway.
Oh,
I don't think the next generation are going to do it.
No, well, they already they think it's for old people, don't they?
Which
do.
It is, because they go on there and it's all their parents' mates and
that's true.
Pictures of babies and
that is so
complaints
true.
About public transport.
Yeah.
Daily updates about Southern Rail.
We love it. Don't get me started.
I can already see that turn in her eye the second you say it.
You're making me want to do a cull. I'm feeling like I've got an embarrassing amount. I'm just too popular, guys.
Well,
it's not your fault.
I think I know about 60% of my Facebook friends.
But do you edit, Sophie, or are you just don't befriend that many people? Because I feel like
I don't befriend that many people. I haven't made friends that much like the last few years. I feel like I could probably count them on one hand.
I need to go and do an edit, I think, but some of my friends really enjoy it. It's like having a spring clean. They literally have the same mentality. They spring clean their Facebook friends. Joe, this
I haven't
could be
changed my
really?
Profile picture in 10 years,
right?
Can't
come
be
on
might be time for a cull.
It's time.
It feels
Joe.
Quite good to get rid of people that you just really don't
what
need
if you
to
don't
know.
Make the cull?
Well, then that play setting will continue to be changed. It plays out in real life. That's what happens.
That's the thing. Facebook isn't real life. But you were saying as well, though, about your personas versus real in-life personas.
Yeah.
And I do find it weird that somebody can be so... I mean, I have certain people that they're barely recognisable, as in their social media persona.
And then there's people who don't want to talk to me offline. They only want to be my online friend. And if I see them in real life and say, hi, it's me off the Facebook, they literally panic.
They duck.
Isn't that weird, that feeling, though, where you see someone, you think, oh, we've sort of exchanged some messages on Instagram or whatever, but in real life, I don't really know that person. That is a very strange feeling, isn't it?
It is
a very modern dilemma.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
But anyway. Well, I know what I'm
off. Solve no problems as per.
But you've kind of solved the problem what I'm going to do with the rest of my day. I'm going to go off and call some people on Facebook.
Yeah, and wish them happy birthday.
Definitely.
Wish them happy birthday and then kick them
I
off.
I was about to call them, but it's their birthday in 2 days. So I'm going to
go home and review my kitchen sponge as well.
Yeah, review your kitchen
Most
sponge.
Most definitely.
Update your Facebook profile picture.
Yeah. And buy a Sophie Ellis Bextor tea towel.
That does go hand in hand. It does. Yeah.
And then to friend a few people, then you can sleep well tonight knowing you've done a good day's work.
Yeah. It's a spring clean in all ways, really.
Well, Sophie, thank you much for joining us.
I've been so educated.
You really have
been so entertaining.
I'm off to go and find some poo drops. It's a good day.
You really are. Good luck with the album. Good luck with the tour. Good luck with the baby.
Dream on, pregnant lady.
I know.
The poo drops.
Don't take us back to the poo drops. We just successfully almost moved on.
It's just something I've learned today.
And it'll stick with you forever. And it's good to know every time you look at me and Joe or hear this podcast, you'll think poo drops. Synonymous
it's
with.
It's true.
And obviously, if you're out there, poo drops, and you're looking for a place of adverts, we would happily take your sponsorship, wouldn't we, Joe?
Well, they've had a lot of free advertising.
Please be sponsored by poo drops. That'd be amazing. Yeah.
Oh, anyway, on that lovely note, thank you, Sophie, for joining us. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you. Well, you'll hear from us next week, hopefully.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.